This is Apostle Tanya. Most marvelously, we have the blessed honor in this generation to declare our love for our blessed Master. And surely, I am most grateful to serve together with you to exalt our Holy Lord and remindeth the enemy, the earth is thy Lord's and the fullness thereof. Through the revelatory teachings taught by the Spirit of God through me and the most glorious supernatural fun experiences that I have spent in the blessed presence of the Master, I pray that you shall be most encouraged and equipped listening to holy podcasts. I am most surely honored to have you a part of the family. The placement of the cross of Yeshua HaMashiach in the center would seemingly point to be the focal point of the crucifixion of our blessed Redeemer. In the Holy Scriptures, we read of the Blessed Master's earthly ministry and the warfare he endured as the jealousy of the Jewish leaders of his day increased and influenced their hearts to purpose to commit to their tragic decision to oppose the Lord's ministry. It was the spirit of envy which would be used as Satan's strategy to ultimately use the Jewish leaders to crucify the Blessed Master. These leaders' hearts would become an easy target to host and carry out the plan of Lucifer. Therefore, we must assume Satan continued to observe the leaders as they grew and being consumed with their hatred and intimidation of Yeshua. The jealousy would become dangerous and release the heels of envy to enter in as thy Lord's miracles, fame, and followers continue to spread and increase in its numbers. Most assuredly, it was the door of envy that opened during this ancient time to manifest the most tragic story ever written. The hatred and rejection of His Majesty, the Son of God, by His own. This is most certainly something for us all to learn from. For as it is written, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Most surely, it may be hard for some to imagine how the religious leaders during this ancient time, who were consequently extremely privileged, I would say, to walk side by side with the Son of God, refused to yield to His authority and ministry. It is no great wonder, then, why we read oft-times that our Blessed One rebuked and confronted the Pharisees and scribes for their wicked hearts. Surely our Blessed Master knew what was to come. In the Lord's earthly ministry, the leaders opposing him hearts were full of hypocrisy. They refused to see the Blessed One had not been sent by the Father to be their equal or even to be coronated by men. This religious thinking, whereby the risen Lord abhorred, remaineth a disturbing thorn even in the church today. The lowly king, whom oftentimes the Bible records, the Jewish leaders audaciously accused of blasphemy, was indeed Messiah, the Word, manifested in flesh. The I Am. Yet, in their distorted perception and commitment to their traditions of how the king would appear to them, they walked tragically in the greatest deception recorded in their refusal to bow to the Blessed Master. The Holy Spirit is faithful to reveal to us through the beloved disciple John. In the book of John, chapter 19, verse 20, that the Romans positioned the blessed Lord Jesus to be crucified in a city where the census of the Jews was high, in fact, in population. Further, we read oft-times in righteous anger of the unstable Pilate and the title he chose to have created for our Lord, placed above the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is what they wrote in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. This was also another plan of Satan to humiliate the Son of God. Certainly we see the plot coming to a climax, don't we? Satan would use the Jews, Romans, Caiaphas, and Pilate to openly shame our Redeemer in the presence of all the Lord's kinsmen, even as our Blessed Master was dying on the cross. The deceiver would even conspire that thy Lord's grave be with wicked criminals. Yet, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, for in Satan's limited knowledge, he did not know of the plan of redemption from our Almighty Lord God, for God is all knowledge. Neither with those enemies of thy Lord who purpose in their hearts to expedite his crucifixion during Passover. The leaders had not been privily, though, to the secret in the throne room of our God that our beloved Master had chosen to give of himself during Passover. The Father allowed these leaders to hasten his son's execution, and it would be our sovereign God, the Father of glory, who would raise his son on the third day. This wicked one's decision to prominently place the Lord in the center amongst two criminals in his attempt to disgrace the Blessed One was the Father's will. The Holy Scriptures strengthen us with the passage recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 10. And it reads, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief." Surely nothing in this earth, beloved, nor in the kingdom of darkness, has greater power than our Elohim. There is the most glorious revelation that we can feast on in our abiding with the Holy Spirit. On one particular evening, as I was preparing for a teaching, the teacher guided me to study a different passage that I had originally planned. Most magnificently, as he led me to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11, he began to speak to me about communion. Thereafter, the blessed Holy Spirit graced me with profound details about His Majesty's intimate time with His disciples. Our Blessed One graciously guided me to follow the last footsteps of the King of Glory on earth. Faithfully, he was reminding me that when we feast, there is precious revelation that shall come forth from the breaking of bread. Amen? This is what the great apostle, by the Spirit, taught the Corinthians in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11. Apostle Paul taught what he received in those letters, in that epistle, from the Blessed One, of what occurred on the night of the Last Supper. The Blessed Lord Jesus, in his earthly life, he knew the hearts of all men. When he sat down with his friends for intimacy, the disciples, he sat to feast, knowing that day that one would betray him for 30 pieces of silver and a kiss. Yet, our merciful Savior demonstrated his love and prepared a table and broke bread with his betrayer. Thy Lord surely carried grief and sorrows in his heart as his friend Judas Iscariot tragically, most tragically, walked away from the master's table to the path of Satan, the path of the greatest betrayal. Oftentimes we read with tears the story left for us of our humble king, whom in such great love continued in fellowship, supped from the cup of praise, and sang hymns with his dearest friends. Let us remember thy Lord's love for Judas never departed as his disciple conspired with Satan to betray him. When we sit at the blessed Lord Jesus' feet, may we remember him. May we remember how his heart responded to his friend turned enemy. In this, dear ones, we shall continue to partake in remembering our beautiful Jesus.